and welcome to episode number 14 of Nerds Talk Movies, the NerdStash.com's podcast for all things movie and TV related. I'm your host, Johnny Reynolds, and joining me, as always, is Taylor Cole. Taylor, how are you doing on this fine Saturday afternoon?
I am doing fantastic. The Boys Season 2 is out, the first three episodes anyway. I watched the first episode, I guess they released it early. So I watched the first episode, as soon as they released it. I can't wait to watch the rest of the episodes, either today or tomorrow.
Nice, yeah. I am super excited for this season. And we'll talk about that here in a bit. But first, we do have an interesting show planned for you guys today. We're switching things up a little bit, but before we get into it, I just got my standard housekeeping that I have to go over. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at NerdStashShow, and you can come hang out with us and all of our friends on Discord at the NerdStash community. Be sure to check out the site, thenerdstash.com, for daily news, reviews, and opinion pieces on all kinds of nerdy content. And if you like what you hear, please subscribe to this podcast on your platform of choice, because we are basically everywhere. With that being said, let's get into what we've been watching. So Taylor, you are one episode into The Boys. What are you thinking of it so far?
I think it is very explosive, and that is just an appropriate word I think I could use to describe the first episode. I'm really loving it so far. It reminds me a lot of Umbrella Academy Season 2, and I had such a strong intro, not to that level. I still hold Umbrella Academy's second season intro up there with Lost, and one of the best intros of all time. But it was still very good. The soundtrack is on point. And I'm really down to see how evil this Stormfront character is. Because in this show, whenever somebody seems like they're a good person, they never are. And they're usually the worst people. So I can't wait to see how they're going to handle that.
No, that is it's definitely true. And explosive is a very good word to choose for the season so far. And if you've seen the first episode, you would know why. And I don't want to spoil anything for you or any listeners. But the first three episodes, I'm really glad that they released them that way instead of just the first episode, because they themselves are sort of like a mini arc for all of the characters. And once you see how the third episode ends, it's just going to get you really hype for what's to come. And I agree, Stormfront, I think, is a great addition. I don't think I've seen that actress in anything else before, but I'm really liking what she's bringing to the role. She's really, really interesting. So I've been watching that too. I have finished the first three episodes, but I've also finally finished Vikings. I wrapped up the first half of season six, so now I'm just stuck waiting for the second half of season six to drop, like the rest of you. But that has given me more time to move on to other shows like Harley Quinn, the animated series, because that is on HBO Max right now. And it is genuinely really funny. The voice cast does really, really great work. Tony Hale as Dr. Psycho might be my favorite, but I also really like Alan Tudyk as Clayface. I really like that since he's a shapeshifter, he's sort of like this Shakespearean type of actor. I think he's really, really funny. Also, King Shark just being the tech guy of the group instead of what you would expect, because he's a giant man-eating shark. I think that's a little clever twist on the character. And I also really, really love how the animation style, it's sort of like it's its own thing, but it also is reminiscent of Batman, the animated series from the 90s. So they sort of bring in that nostalgia while also, being very much not for kids.
Yeah, it's a really funny show. I've seen a few episodes and I think I like every character on that show, from Jim Gordon to Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy. For one, King Shark, by the way, is so cool to see five different adaptations currently in development with him, from CW's The Flash to the two Suicide Squad things in development, the game and the movie. It's really cool to see this character, because I always thought he was just awesome.
Oh yeah, he's blowing up right now. I'm excited to see what all of these different types of adaptations bring to the character too. The other big things that I watched this past week, though, are The New Mutants and Tenet. And I feel like I should sort of explain myself first, because, COVID is happening. So me and a couple of friends went to a theater. We did a double feature. We wore masks, had hand sanitizer with us, but also the theater blocked off every other row. This was on a weekday too, so like no one was there. And no one sat in our rows, so we were very safe. But I'm really glad that I got to see these two movies because I've been looking forward to both of them. The New Mutants was kind of just fine. Some of the effects were kind of poor. And it wasn't worth the wait. I know that's not the movie's fault or the filmmaker's fault or whatever. It's just what happened. But I feel like I sort of hyped myself up too much, and I doubt that I'm the only one. I kind of wish that it hadn't even been made, because with it getting such poor reviews, and it's not as bad as some people are saying, but with it getting such poor reviews, we might not see these characters again, and I really like some of them, especially Magic. She's really, really cool, and she's probably the most popular of the New Mutants. And I feel like when the MCU finally does bring in the mutants, they're not going to focus on these lesser-known characters. They're only going to be doing the big ones, at least for a very long time. So that's kind of a bummer, but still cool to see them on the big screen. Tenet was way better. Very entertaining, but also very confusing. It's one of those movies where like you definitely need to see it again to piece everything together. It's just a really hard movie to get a grasp on, but I mean, that's kind of Christopher Nolan's shtick, but very entertaining, just a bit hard to nail down some of the sci-fi elements, but very, very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised you were a little hyped up for New Mutants, because last week we kind of both trashed it pretty bad.
So. Yeah, well, a lot of what my misgivings were because of just what the director said about whitewashing Sunspot, but I still wanted to go into it with an open mind, because I was hearing like all the reviews that we went through saying bad things about the movie. They were saying, well, the cast does a good job with what they are given. It's just that what they are given is not that great. And I do agree with that. I don't think that any of the acting was particularly bad. There's some weird accents in it. Charlie Heaton, I think, is the actor's name. He's from Stranger Things, and he has like a really thick Southern accent, and it sounds fake. Even if you've never seen Stranger Things, it sounds kind of hokey. But other than that, I thought that I really enjoyed his character, and the rest of the actors, I think, did a good job too.
Nice. So
decent, but you know, don't go out to a theater to see it, probably. But let's move on, because we are doing a sort of new thing for the show today. We are not going to be talking about any news. We're going to be having a sort of fun episode. So on the last episode of the Nerd Stash show, which is up right now, please go listen to it if you have not, we each picked 5 video games or video game franchises that we would like to see return in honor of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater coming back. So we thought we'd do something similar for Nerds Talk Movies this week. So we're going to be talking about what movie or TV franchises we would want to bring back, but doing it a little bit differently from Nerd Stash Show. We're going to have a little bit of friendly competition here. So here are the rules. So both Taylor and I will pitch the return of 5 movies or TV franchises that we would like to see return with no duplicates. There won't be any crossover between either of our lists. We can go into as much or little detail as we want, just like we did with the Nerd Stash Show. And we can talk about directors we would want to see tackle a reboot. We can talk about what we would want to see from a returning series. You know, whatever we want to talk about is fair game. And finally, we can pick any movie or series that released as soon as yesterday. If we don't like the way that something is going currently, we would, you know, pitch a different take on it. It doesn't have to be something that released, you know, something like 20 years ago or something like that. Anything is fair game. Also, here's where the friendly competition comes in. When this episode goes live, we'll run a week-long poll over on Twitter, at NerdStashShow, where you can go over there and you can vote for who you think had the better list pitches, and if you would like, leave a comment telling us why, or simply telling us what show or movie you would bring back. Again, that's at NerdStashShow on Twitter. And before we go any further, should be said that these are pitches of what we would want to see happen, not what we think would ever happen. They aren't necessarily meant to be realistic pitches, so just sort of fun things that we would like to see return in some form. All of that out of the way, let's get on to it. Taylor, would you like to kick us off?
Johnny, I think you know what my number one is going to be.
I think I do.
Before we do get into this, I'm just going to present all my picks like I'm pitching it to you guys listening and to Johnny. But I'll also try to be as spoiler-free as possible. But anyways, my number one pick is Santa Clarita Diet on Netflix. This show centers around this woman named Sheila Hammond, played by Drew Barrymore, and her husband Joel, and Joel is played by Timothy Olyphant. Sheila is pretty much presented as a pushover until she dies from some unknown sickness. However, she comes back to life with the urge to eat humans. I know that synopsis sounds really dumb. I know I'm not, like, buying you guys into this show here, but I promise you, this show is ridiculously witty. Barrymore and Olyphant are just perfect in this show, from their chemistry to, honestly, their jokes. The supporting cast is right along with them. The plot-wise, this show is just very unique. There's not many shows out there that's a comedy where the main character is a zombie. Maybe like one or two max. The reason why this is on this list is because this show got canceled at Netflix after 3 seasons, and it ended on a pretty big cliffhanger. My pitch would be bring this show back for one last season to wrap up all its loose ends.
Yeah, that show is really, really great. One of Netflix's like most underrated shows. Or at least I thought, but I actually, earlier today, someone asked on Twitter what shows were just unnecessarily canceled, and that got Santa Clarita Diet trending on Twitter. So it's good to see that it still has love, but I guess it just did not get enough love for Netflix to keep it going, which is really a shame, because it was really, really funny. Barrymore and Olyphant had really great chemistry, so I think this is a really good pick.
Well, with it also trending on Twitter like that, and that kind of topic, we did pick a good topic for the Nerd Stop Movies this week.
Yes, it worked out really well. Alright, Well, my number one is Avatar The Last Airbender, and I know what you guys are thinking. Avatar The Last Airbender is not something that has ever really gone away. The original series aired from 2005 to 2008. Then they had The Legend of Korra, which was a sequel series that ended in 2014. There is currently a live-action remake in the works at Netflix. You probably heard about a month ago, the original creators left that series over creative differences after wasting 2 years. They've been on the project since 2018. And in that time, even before that time, they have been building up the world with tons of really great comics, focusing on Aang and his friends, their adventures after defeating the Fire Lord at the end of the first show. Korra has also gotten her own comics. There have been young adult novels focusing on Kyoshi, which was an avatar, a couple avatars before Aang's story. So there has been content for Avatar The Last Airbender, and a new show is coming. But none of that is what my heart truly desires. What I really, really want is a third animated series. I want a sequel, really, to The Legend of Korra, in the way that The Legend of Korra was a follow-up to Avatar The Last Airbender. Because, well, for a lot of different reasons, with the creators now just having left the Netflix series, they have more time to focus on this, if that's what they choose to do. When they left, they both said, hey, this doesn't mean that we're done with the world of Avatar. And obviously, they've been releasing lots of content throughout the years. But I really, really want a third animated series. This would focus on an avatar from the Earth Kingdom. And I think that would be really interesting. One, because that's the biggest kingdom in this world. But also, I feel like it could they could play around with the feeling of pressure to live up to Kyoshi, which was the Earth Kingdom avatar before, you know, this hypothetical character. Also, The Legend of Korra gets a lot of hate, a lot of complaints about Korra. Some of it I understand, but the vast majority of it I don't. One thing that I really like about Korra over Avatar is that the animation is better. It's just a little bit crisper. I think they had a little bit of a higher budget, which I also think led to enhanced fight sequences, so that was really great. They also introduced new fighting styles, as well as new ways to just bend elements. Like, you had an earthbender come in The Legend of Korra, and he can heat up rocks to create lava, and then basically he's lava bending, and that's like super cool and, you know, super dangerous in a fight. You also had spirit bending, which was really interesting. They did some really great world building with the spirit world. So if they did create a third series, I think they could bring even more imaginative new ways to use bending and the different elements. This is probably the most likely of my five choices, but it's also the one that I definitely want the most.
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good strategy for you, especially since we're going to throw this out on Twitter and kind of have a competition here. Because Avatar The Last Airbender is so beloved, and some of my picks here are so like niche, I'm not sure many people have seen some things on here, or maybe they don't really remember it as much. So I think you might have a win, at least with that pick.
That's kind of why I put this one first. Some of my later picks are much more niche. Avatar obviously saw a resurgence in popularity since it got added to Netflix, and then Korra got added to Netflix after it. And both of those just like immediately were in the top 10 viewed of Netflix for like a long time. So a lot of people rediscovering it from their childhood, a lot of people discovering it for the first time. So yeah, hopefully the creators, since they're done working on that Netflix live series, they can find a way to make a third animated series, because that would just make everyone happy. But Taylor, what's your number two?
All right, my number two is going to be, I don't know if this one's going to be niche or not, but Jericho. Jericho was a show that aired in 2006, and it focused on a small Kansas town called Jericho after a nuclear attack shakes America. This series had some pretty great drama, comedic moments, and one hell of a unique plot for television at the time. Honestly, it probably has one of the best first seasons of TV to release in the past 20 years. Unfortunately, this show was canceled after just one season at CBS. However, Jericho was brought back for a brief second season to tie up loose ends after fans sent in nuts to network executives. If you want to know why fans sent in nuts to executives, you probably want to watch the show. I think it's on Netflix. But there's a reason why. My pitch for this would be to reboot the show with the same premise in, you know, 2020 modern time. It just has so much potential to me. But since most of the cast has moved on, I mean, it's a 14-year-old show, you'll need a completely new cast and maybe just new characters. You really just want to keep the premise of it, I think. With the success of Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, Better Call Saul, my pitch would be bring the show back with AMC at the helm. I don't know if he would have any interest or if he would be even a good fit at all, but I would love to see if Vince Gilligan getting his hands on this. I would love to see if he has any ideas.
Yeah, I've never seen Jericho, but I hear about it a lot as like an unceremoniously canceled TV show. And I believe, I forget the actor's name, but Morgan from The Walking Dead was on it, right?
Lenny James, I believe.
Lenny James. Just from the small amount that I know about the show, I think AMC would be a good choice.
Well, you also got to figure, some people will like probably have seen the show, went AMC, Vince Gilligan, really? Well, the thing you also got to think is it was on CBS in 2006. There is a certain style that those networks have. I think if you take it over to like AMC, it's grittier. It wants to, is telling a more realistic story. I would love to see that.
Yeah, interesting. Now, I'm sure there would be a lot of people on board with that. I know a lot of people loved it.
Is your number two?
My number two is, in my opinion, the cream of the crop of canceled TV shows, which is Firefly. Now, I don't know what
you are going for. cheap wins.
Hey, here. Those two I stand by. My three picks, my three movies, they're much more niche, but my two shows are the big ones. So Firefly, if you don't know, basically I believe it takes place in like either the 23rd or the 24th century. I can't remember exactly, but basically the premise is humans used up all the resources of Earth and then had to move on to another galaxy where they found tons of planets and then moons and terraformed them all. And some people believed that each planet and each moon should be governed independently, while another group of people believed that all planets and moons should be governed by one organization called the Alliance. So this, of course, led to war between the Independents and the Alliance. The Alliance won. The main character of the show, Malcolm Reynolds, he was a general, I think he was a general, for the Independents, and he lost a lot when the Independents lost the war. So basically after that, the show takes place after the war ends, and he has his own crew. They have a ship. They go around sort of like on the outskirts of this universe to moons and to planets, basically completing bounties, doing odd jobs to just make ends meet. Some of it's legal. Some of it is definitely illegal, but it's really interesting. It really, really blends Western and sci-fi elements together. So unfortunately, this came out in around, I think, 2002, and it was on Fox, and they really screwed this one over. Because they did not air the pilot until later, because it was like a 2-hour premiere, and I guess Fox just thought that was too long. But that really screws up, or it really screws with viewers, because the first episode to actually air on TV was the second episode. But they also kept changing the night that it came on. So that led to, like, poor ratings, or not poor ratings, but just poor viewership. And then, of course, it got canceled before its first season even finished. But those that were able to watch it, the fans, rallied after it was canceled. And they even got a documentary made about them called Browncoats, which, if you've seen the show, Browncoats makes total sense. That was just a nickname for the Independents. And they got a movie made. It was Joss Whedon's directorial debut called Serenity. It came out in 2005. So there are some comics set before and after Serenity. Serenity got to give it a sort of ending, but as the comics show, there's definitely different directions that it could go with the crew dealing with the fallout of the events in the movie. So if a new show was made, they could adapt these comics if they wanted to do before or after. I think an animated series would might be better, just because it's been so long since the movie. It's been, you know, 15 years, just to keep the original cast. And it's been 15 years. So they're all, you know, off doing different things. And, you know, they might have aged past the action star roles that they were in for Firefly and Serenity. Or you could just have a live-action show, have the original cast return, and just have it be set later. But the comics have really laid like interesting groundwork. And what's interesting is that the comics were produced by Dark Horse. Those take place after Serenity, but they lost the license a couple of, I think last year, maybe the year before that. And they haven't gotten to finish their arc yet, which is really unfortunate. So there are events that happen after the movie that Dark Horse was handling, and then the license that went to Boom, and Boom has just been doing its own standalone story, which takes place, you know, sometime within the show before the movie, because characters that die in the movie are alive in the comics now. That sort of just doesn't tie. Can't
pinch a break, apparently.
I know, right? It's just really unfortunate. But Joss Whedon wouldn't necessarily have to be attached. He doesn't write the comics. He just has his name on there because, you know, it's like he created the series. And for a lot of different reasons, he's kind of a problematic person. So, I don't know if people would want him attached. He's problematic for a lot of different reasons that I'm not going to go into. You can look him up if you want. And the comic writers have shown that they can really nail the voices of the characters and this world. It just seemed that there was a lot more world building that Firefly could have done that they didn't get a chance to. And that's why I would want to see it return. But I would want to see it return as an animated series, just so that it can pick up right where Serenity left off, and then have the original voice cast without them, you know, appearing so much older than they were on the show in the movie.
I am still very upset at you, because I feel like you seriously just had two cheap wins here. It's making me rethink my fifth pick, for sure, with one. Very cheap one that I think will get a win.
All right, well then, what's your next one?
All right. My number three pick is Real Steel. Real Steel starred Hugh Jackman and Evangeline Lilly. I think that's how you pronounce her name.
Yeah. Kate.
Okay. Yeah, from Kate from Lost, or Wasp from the MCU. Okay, this one is pretty simple as a premise. It's Rocky with robots. Right, Johnny?
I mean, I haven't seen it, but yeah, that's what it appeared to be, yeah.
That's kind of upsetting. But for those of you who haven't seen it, like Johnny, in the world of Real Steel, robotic boxing is really popular, and Jackman's character is a retired boxer who helps his son train this scrappy robot win. So again, kind of like the underdog story. This is such a underrated movie, in my opinion, and it has heart, drama, and some actually really cool fights. Anytime I don't want to say like it's a 10 out of 10, a 9 out of 10, but it's something anytime I see it on TV, I'll immediately switch to it, just because it's that kind of feel-good movie. I'm not saying I want Jackson back or Lily back. Just give me a new movie in this world, because I think they did such an excellent job building that world up. So, I guess I'm pitching either a sequel or just a new movie in that universe.
Stranger things have happened. I've heard it's underrated. I just never got around to seeing it. Did that movie do well? Do you remember? Like, financially or critically?
I actually have no idea how well it did. Generally think it's well received. I'm not sure by critics though, but I think that generally people just think it's pretty decent.
Oh yeah. Well, we've seen weirder things, you know, get rebooted before. It's entirely possible.
Let's move on to your number three.
All right. Well, here's where I'll get into the kind of niche things. So I'm going to get into we're going to get into a little bit of horror here. I really want another Freddy versus Jason movie.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. That's controversial. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So, yeah, two titans of horror. Freddy Krueger is one of my all-time favorite slasher antagonists. I love A Nightmare on Elm Street. I'd put it right beneath Scream, but Scream is already getting a reboot, so... Here we have Freddy versus Jason. This was like long before shared or cinematic universe, or not long before all of them, but long before the MCU. This is even before Alien versus Predator. Basically, the plot is Freddy Krueger is in hell, and Jason arrives, and he sort of resurrects Jason to sort of start killing people, and he's like controlling him so that Freddy Krueger can regain his strength and return, and then, you know, start wreaking havoc on teens and their dreams. This came out in like 2003, so the effects obviously look like 2003s, but it's really awesome.
You can tell it's a 2003 movie as soon as you watch it.
Yeah, it doesn't take itself seriously. It's like really awesome campy horror. Like there are some really fun deaths in there that like are borderline absurd, but not way way out there. Like some other entries in their respective franchises. I also think. I'm pretty sure this was the last movie before each of them got rebooted in 2009, and they each got rebooted really poorly. I think A Nightmare on Elm Street was 2010, but they both got rebooted, and they just both did not go well. It also sets up for a sequel that never came. I don't know if I should spoil a 2003 movie, but... Basically, Jason wins the fight. Once he sort of realizes that he's being controlled by Freddy Krueger, they sort of start duking it out, and like all the humans are sort of caught in the middle of it. So it's really fun. But Jason cuts off Freddy Krueger's head, and then he's walking away, and then the camera zooms in on Freddy's face, and his eyes open. So you know he's not dead, but then both of their franchises got rebooted. We never got a sequel for this. And I don't think that... just because they were rebooted, that this couldn't happen. But why it couldn't happen is because, well, there were like Nightmare on Elm Street reboot talks earlier this year with Wes Craven's estate, but there are lots of legal battles going on still over Friday the 13th that I'm not gonna get into because like it's complicated. Even with the game too, like it's all kinds of trouble. Like, this won't happen until we get another Friday the 13th movie, and that's not happening for a while. So this is just me wanting the return of some campy horror, because I think there's room for high budget campy horror even though a lot of horror or mainstream horror right now is really gritty and dark, Freddy vs. Jason is just pure fun. I would want it to come back and be just as campy, just as fun. I think that Sam Raimi would be a great director for this. He did the Evil Dead trilogy. He did the original Spider-Man trilogy. He's just signed on to do Doctor Strange 2. I think another good pick would be the guys who did Ready or Not, and they're now doing Scream 5. So if Scream 5 went well and they wanted to tackle another Wes Craven character to sort of honor him since he has since passed, I think that would make a good fit. Because both they and Sam Raimi do gore really well. So that's what I would want to see. Just campy fun. Two slasher guys just going at it. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, even me, like, I'm so interested in, like, horror franchises, video games, and movies. But I'm such, like, as Brandon would put it, like a scaredy cat of right. things. Like, I can't watch it or actually play it. But I'll, like, learn about it and see some clips and maybe, like, watch the video game movie version, like, on YouTube. But even I've seen some clips of Freddy vs. Jason.
And oh, yeah.
Just, it is kind of just ridiculous fun. And I might one-up your pitch here. You said you're going to need a reboot of Jason. Why not just do Freddy vs. Jason off the bat?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they could definitely do that.
Lean into it.
Yeah.
You ready for my next one?
What's your number three? Go for it.
All right, Johnny. This one is probably my most controversial pick. I'm going to go with 2008's Jumper. Jumper revolves around... I
forgot about that movie.
Yeah, I did too until we were coming up with this list. Jumper revolves around this guy named David Rice, played by Hayden Christensen, who has the ability to teleport anywhere in the world. When he discovers this, he leaves his abusive father and goes out into the world using his ability for his own personal gain. So later on in the movie, again, I'm not going to really spoil anything here, but he returns home, he has this pretty entertaining romance story with his childhood friend, and long story short, he starts to get hunted down by this group dedicated to killing other superpowered people. Samuel L. Jackson, I think, is the leader. But yes, to be fair, I haven't seen this movie in 10 years, so give me a break. Honestly, I think Jumper is a bit underrated. At the time, I think a lot of people were still hating on Hayden Christensen for his role as Anakin Skywalker. Kind of like how Robert Pattinson still gets those Twilight comments.
Right.
Like, oh man, he's the vampire. Oh man, he's that annoying Jedi kid. But I know that YouTube has, like, a show called, like, Impulse. I did a little bit of research for this. That's based on one of the Jumper novels. But still, that's not, like, a theatrical release or, like, a big-time television slot. This premise, I think, deserves a bigger stage, in my opinion. Let's finally get a sequel to Jumper. Bring Hayden Christensen back, too. Let's do it.
I would actually be on board with that. I agree with you. I think Jumper was kind of underrated. I thought that after watching it, I was like, there are a lot of different directions that it could go in that it unfortunately never got a chance to.
Just another one here. This one was pretty bad, but I thought the premise was good. I also thought about putting Push in this spot.
Push popped into my head, too, yeah.
Yeah, the Chris Evans movie had a similar kind of superpower premise. But I think Jumper as a movie is much better. So that's why it got the spot.
Yeah, Push was an interesting concept. I just thought that the execution wasn't so great. But Jumper, I think you're right about Hayden Christensen just getting a lot of hate because of Anakin Skywalker. I don't think, from what I remember in the movie, I don't think that he like is remarkable in it or anything, but I don't think he does a bad job.
No, from what I remember, Samuel L. Jackson kind of as an acting, he kind of just carries it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Hayden Christian, I can't remember the girl who plays the love interest. She does a pretty good job as well. Remember, she is in How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
I think that's the only other thing I remember her being in. But
yeah,
she does a good job as well. But other than those three people, maybe, it's kind of a little lackluster in that department.
Yeah. But no, it's like a really, really interesting concept. Like these people can jump to any place in the world that they've been to before, so they can... He sort of, like, uses it to, you know, pull off crimes, and that's why they sort of like, so that's why this group led by Samuel L. Jackson sort of starts hunting him, or that's how they find out about him. They're hunting people like him. I believe they're religious fanatics, if I remember correctly. But no, it's a really cool concept that had room to expand on. So yeah, I'd be on board if that came back.
Again, I know I think they have something on YouTube just as a, but I'm talking like a theatrical or actually put it on a major television network.
Yeah, an actual follow-up.
Give it a sequel with Hayden Christensen again. Man, that'd be amazing. All right, yeah. What is your number four?
My number four is Evil Dead, the 2013 reboot. I want a sequel to that.
This is when we were talking about it could be released as early as yesterday, because there was an Ash vs. Evil Dead series.
Yes, there was.
That just ended like a year or two ago.
Yeah. So that just ended. The original Evil Dead trilogy, which is, you know, sort of ties into my last pick with Sam Raimi and being, you know, fun, campy horror. Those movies are great, and they're really, really funny. And then they remade the original movie with some, like, character changes and stuff, and made it completely unfunny on purpose, super gory, super serious, just really, like, terrifying and grotesque. There are lots of really amazing body horror in that movie. And uncomfortable body horror as well. So the original series sort of got to continue through Ash versus the Evil Dead because they brought back Bruce Campbell. And I think Sam Raimi, he produced the reboot. He didn't direct it. He said in 2019, I had to research this, he wanted to make another one, but he wasn't sure if Fede Alvarez, who did direct the reboot, would want to return. So Alvarez went on to do Don't Breathe and The Girl in the Spider's Web. So he's done other horror and thriller stuff before. But what I would want to see, if you've seen the original trilogy, Bruce Campbell's character, Ash, he after the second one, he gets transported to this other dimension where the Deadites come from, the sort of like demonic, I don't know if you want what you would call them. They're not demonic monsters, basically. And they come out of the Book of the Dead and they're like possessing humans and, you know, turning them into Deadites in the,
yeah,
the first two movies.
Do. Yeah.
As you do. Yeah. So he gets transported to this fantastical world. And the third movie is called Army of Darkness, and it's super fun. He sort of like gets caught in the middle of this war. But if a sequel to the 2013 movie came out and you have the final character left alive, if she gets, you know, brought into that world, I thought it could lead to some really horrific and interesting creature designs with like Deadites, and they're like skeleton warriors. But Army of Darkness is, you know, much more action heavy and much funnier than the first two movies. It plays up all of those creatures to be like comedic, like the skeleton warriors are clearly just like puppets kind of dancing around. But if you had the right effects work and you went like the extreme horror route that the 2013 Evil Dead did, I think that would be pretty gross and pretty horrifying. And that's what I would really want from it. If Fede Alvarez didn't want to come back, my director choice would be Andy Muschietti, because he's done really great gore in the both of the It movies.
So you're not hoping for a good ending, though.
Well, I mean, I would still hope for a good ending. I know It Chapter 2 had some problems.
I know, but that's the thing with Andy Muschietti, is that's kind of the joke, running joke, is, oh, can't end a movie right there. So, just figure that out there.
Yeah, I mean, he did Mama, too, which the movie, Mama was pretty scary, but the ending, you know, also had some problems. Not going to get into that there. He's also doing The Flash right now, so he's going to be blowing up. So if he came on to make another Evil Dead, I think that would just be a nice little match there. But that's my fourth pick. What is your fourth pick?
I'm already on my fifth pick.
Oh, you're on your fifth pick. That's right.
I'm going to give out my honorable mentions. Some honorable mentions here. Graceland was a TV show on USA Network. My pitch will be rebooted on HBO Max or Peacock. Daredevil, I would have that return via the MCU. The character needs to come back.
I feel so stupid and like a fake fan for not putting Daredevil on my list now.
I would have put Daredevil here, but it felt way too cheap to do. You know, unlike you with Firefly.
Nope, so, I just went all Firefly, yep.
So I'm going to put that in honorable mention. Charlie Cox needs to come back. Vincent D'Onofrio needs to come back. They're fantastic. They could easily crush it on the big screen. And another honorable mention, Burn Notice. It was on the USA Network. Bring it right back to the USA Network because this show was amazing. It wasn't anything like 10 out of 10. It was just such a fun show with this James Bond spy premise. So, Johnny, that leads me to my last pick. My last pitch. This is it. This might be what causes people to vote for me and not you. I'm going to go with My Name is Earl.
Oh, My Name is Earl. That was a
Jason
good show.
Lee plays Earl Hickey, a all-around terrible human being who wins the lottery only to be hit by a car moments later. Earl believes he was hit by a car due to his bad karma, so he decides to get his life together and make a list of all the horrible things he's done to other people. The show revolves around Earl and his friends as he goes through his list and rights his wrongs. This one is very easy, and I'm pretty sure most of our audience or anyone listening in has seen at least some of this show. It's funny as hell. It ended on a crazy-ass cliffhanger. We really don't need much here. We don't. My pitch for this is to bring back My Name is Earl for one final TV movie to resolve everything. And if it succeeds, you can keep going with these TV movies. And my big comparison to this is look at Psych. Psych has shown what a series, how it can live on through a TV movie form. So can My Name is Earl.
Yeah, I think it got canceled after its fourth season. So it had a little bit of...
To be fair as well, my Raising Hope, which was, I believe, a show created by the same creator as My Name is Earl.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of hint at an ending for it, but it doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? As much as I like Raising Hope as well, that got way more of an ending than My Name is Earl. And them to kind of just put like a little nod of how Earl ended up, it just didn't feel like justified for NBC, I believe, canceling the show.
Oh, yeah. And I think that would be a really great show to come out now, because it's all about, you know, learning how to better yourself and be a better person to your fellow man. And, you know, this year alone, we've seen people that definitely need to be taught that lesson to treat other people with kindness.
And, oh, most definitely. Not,
yeah, and I think that would be a great show to bring back right now.
And I know now is not the right time to really say it, but the Cops episodes in that show are just so funny.
Oh.
They really are. They're just so ridiculous. It's just fantastic. If you haven't seen this show, please go watch it. Yeah, I believe it's on, I want to say Hulu.
I think you're right.
I don't remember when. I saw it either Hulu or Netflix. One of those two.
Right. No, I would watch that if it came back in any form. It's a good show. Good sitcom. Good choice, Taylor.
All right. Is your final pick, man?
My
this might
final
be
pick.
The do or die. This has so much on the line.
So
this
much
is like
on
the
line.
The Super Bowl for us.
Yeah. Exactly. Well. Hopefully some people have seen this one, because I know it bombed at the box office, but it did really well critically. That is Dread, 2012's Dread. This is one of the best R-rated comic book movies ever made. If you haven't seen it, or if you're not familiar with the over-the-top 90s Sylvester Stallone movie, which is also based on the comics, but not accurate to the comics, it's set in a somewhat dystopian future where like crime runs rampant and order is maintained by judges who act as judge, jury, and executioner to all criminals. And 2012's Dread stars Carl Urban in the main role. It's a lot more comic book accurate. It is exceptionally violent. Like I said, I think it did really well critically. but not very well financially, so a sequel isn't likely to ever happen, which is unfortunate because Carl Urban crushed it in the lead role. He really, really nailed that character. There are a lot of really, really awesome effects. Basically, this plot, he goes along with a rookie or a recruit played by Olivia Thirlby, and they are going to this sort of apartment building where a sort of drug lord, a drug kingpin, and it's played by Lena Headey from Game of Thrones. She's the villain, and she's producing this drug called Slow-Mo. So it's this reality-altering drug where it causes the user to experience everything in slow motion. So there's really, really cool effects when someone is taking slow-mo. But judges also have this really awesome handgun that I'm blanking on the name for now, but it has an actual name. It can only work when used by them.
If it's not called the gavel, I'm upset.
It's not called the gavel. I can't remember what it's called, but that would be really cool. That'd be a great name. It only works when used by them, so no one can steal their weapon and use it against them. But it can also switch its ammo when its operator speaks certain phrases. So there's one scene early on where Judge Dredd is pointing at a criminal who has taken a citizen hostage, and he says "hot shot" to his gun, and it switches to a flammable projectile, and he shoots it directly into the criminal's mouth, and it's sort of like it burns their skull from the inside. So it's super duper violent. And it's just really, really entertaining. It's a very simple premise, but it's just really, really well done. There are some genetic mutants in this world, though it's really, really rare. So his recruit that's with him is a psychic, and she can sense and manipulate the thoughts and emotions of others. So it's a, you know, really good power to have for her line of work. And honestly, I would love to see this return as either another movie or a live-action series, put it on a streaming service. I know that Carl Urban has spoken in the past that he would be game for returning as the character. Also, this was written by Alex Garland, and he has done a lot of really awesome sci-fi work. He wrote and directed Ex Machina and Annihilation with Natalie Portman. Yeah, he's an awesome, awesome creative talent, and I just wish, you know, Annihilation was also another movie that was really, really did well critically, but didn't do so well financially. But he comes up with really awesome ideas, so I would love to see him return as well. Yeah, Dredd. I believe it's on Netflix or Hulu. If you haven't seen Dredd, you don't have to have read the comics or anything. It's just really, really awesome and just really violent, and just it's just a good time.
I can't remember why, but, and by the way, everybody says that as well, like this movie is amazing, so it leads me to want to watch it again. But I remember watching like 20% of it and I cut it off because I disliked it so much.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And I really don't remember why. Maybe the second time around, maybe I was just like in a bad mood, I don't know. But I will definitely check it out at some point because I have not heard one bad thing about this movie. And every time somebody tells me it's amazing, I go back to like, damn, I shut it off like 20 minutes in saying it was one of the worst movies I've seen. I really need to check this out again.
Highly recommend you give it another choice or another chance. It's great. Lots
maybe
of great
action.
Maybe
just start out like really slow. Again, I'm probably exaggerating as well, like how bad I thought it was, but still. It was years ago when it came out. What, it came out 2012, 2010?
Yeah, 2012 is when it came out, and it just did so poorly at the box office that we never got a sequel, but people like me just really, really loved it. I just want another one. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, that's our list. I think we got some pretty good ones.
I think we do, too.
I'm still upset with you over your first two picks. I feel like you kind of cheated to win here.
Hey, now.
But that is okay. I'm kind of setting myself up for an excuse when you do win.
Everything was fair game.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have two honorable mentions. One, a TV show called Freaks and Geeks, which is where a lot of very, very funny people started out, like Seth
Critically
Rogen.
As well.
Yes, Seth Rogen and Jason Segel. Unfortunately, James Franco, since he's kind of a creep now. Martin Starr, Linda Cardellini on it. It was produced by Judd Apatow and created by Paul Feig, who did Bridesmaids and the female Ghostbusters. So a lot of very, very funny people started out on that show. It got canceled after a season. I wouldn't want to see it return with the same cast, obviously, because it's been over 20 years. But I would like to see where those characters picked off, because it sort of ends on a cliffhanger. And it's really, really funny. Really, really interesting characters. Completely different from any high school drama that you have ever seen. I guarantee it. They could maybe do an animated series just to pick up where it left off. I think that'd be really cool. And as far as movies, I would really like another Raid. The Raid, which are Indonesian martial arts films. There are two of them. And the first one actually is sort of similar to Dread. It's a SWAT team that goes into an apartment building looking to capture a drug lord. But when the drug lord finds out that they are there, he calls upon all of the criminals living in the apartment building and says, hey, if you kill these guys, you get to live here for free. So then they're sort of trapped. And in like the opening 20 minutes, a good three quarters of their team is just decimated by all of these guys. And you have this one rookie who's played by Iko Uwais, who's kind of blown up. Well, not kind of blown up, but he's getting a lot more work in Hollywood these days. He's on a Netflix show called Wu Assassins. He's going to be in the G.I. Joe Snake Eyes movie. And he's really great in it. And the second one sort of picks up after the second one, where he goes to prison to work undercover, to sort of get close to this crime lord's son, protect him, and work his way up to the crime lord from there to sort of take down this whole family. They're really, really great. The fight sequences are brutal and intense and just really, really well done, really quick paced. The second one came out a little while ago, and we've never gotten a third one. It does have an ending, but it leaves it open for where a third could come in, and I would just really like another one of those.
Yeah, but I've been holding off on the Raid on purpose, I need to see an awesome action movie, because I've heard nothing but, this is like John Wick levels of awesomeness.
Movies. It's super intense. Actually, I think one of the other actors is in the third John Wick. They cameo in Star Wars The Force Awakens. They're in a scene. So they also pop up here now.
If you remember, like, when they were making that Deathstroke movie, they were mentioning, the premise of the Raid is kind of similar to what this was going to be. That sounded so cool. Why are we not getting that movie?
Yeah, that's a bummer that it's not happening. But, the DCEU needed some major restructuring. So, unfortunate. But there's our lists. And that is going to be it for almost the show. First, Taylor, what are you working on and where can people find you?
I'm not working on much. You can find me at RamboFactor on Twitter. Sometimes I'll say some dumb things. Maybe entertaining things. I don't know. You'll have to follow me to find out.
Yes, you will. As for myself, I just had a video go up with Mojo Plays on the 9 most brutal weapons in video games. You can also hear me and Taylor on the latest episode of Nerd Stash Show talking about game franchises we'd like to see return. We are also going to be recording a special spoiler talk podcast for the first 3 episodes of The Boys, so be on the lookout for that. And you can find me on Twitter at @avatar_Johnny. But that does it for another episode of Nerds Talk Movies. Thank you, Taylor, for joining me, and thank you all so much for listening. Remember, we will have our poll up on Twitter at @NerdStashShow for a week if you want to head over there and tell us which one you think pitched their ideas better. And if you want to tell us what movie or TV franchise you'd like to see return, we would love to hear from you. That being said, so long, and take care.